Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and good evening, and maybe good morning some places, and good afternoon. This is Talk Block Radio, the voice is speaking and crying out at midnight. The Lord Jesus is soon to come. Prepare me a people, a warn the world, awaken Israel and Zion. This is Brother Eddie Lee out of Chicago, the Windy City. And to all the people who have an ear to hear or who have found that they may listen. So now in the name of the Lord Jesus, we dedicate and give this hour to our Lord Jesus and acknowledge the Holy Spirit and the blood of the new covenant. And the soon coming of our Lord and King to rule and to reign with his bride. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this moment. We ask that your inspiring help of the Holy Spirit, illumination of our hearts and minds to glorify the Lamb of God. What we may do may reach someone, touch someone, bring them to the foot of the cross to be redeemed in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, beloved, as I said, I'm Brother Lee, and my calling or job or duty, a commission is to share with you, to give with you, and to communicate with you, to declare unto you the wonderful, wonderful and amazing answer to your need, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, as I am on this, I was thinking as I came along today, and remember a prayer of our brother Nathaniel Hart, who usually be with me, guiding the way and directing the traffic. He's not on today. And remember Brother Robert Gross, who has been grinding and at the wheel all week long, revealing end-time prophecy. And you may listen, and you may learn, and make your heart may be touched, and you may cause you to search the scriptures. They're on the, every day, usually, I guess it's Central Time, 6:30 or 7 o'clock every evening. You may tune in at 6:30 or sometime 7. Talk Block Radio, 323-870-3403 is the telephone number. You may call in, or you may listen in by telephone, or you have a computer, or you find out how to do it through other means. Just want to say hello and give you some hope. Now, I want to say to everyone far and near and abroad, my sharing of this good news about the gospel of the kingdom is probably the greatest news this planet would ever will get. In the dark period of sorrow and grief that's spreading over the earth with war and famine and destruction and sorrow and disappointment and broken lives, we hear something, the good news, the wonderful news of the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ, redemption. Now, giving you hope in a hopeless, seemingly a hopeless, helpless world falling down. And tonight, I want to share with you, communicate with you, and talk about some amazing events that happen and are happening on the planet Earth. And I just want to share with you what the Bible says and the scripture says about what is happening and what's about to happen in the near future. And some of the greatest news and the greatest amazing events about to take place. Hallelujah. I know the devil is stirring up, and the devil is doing all he can in evil and wicked men, because what the Bible refers to as the end, when you, Matthew 24 talk about the end of this kingdom of men rule, almost 6,000 years, Satan has dominated and ruled and reigned over nations and over lives. Hallelujah. And only a few beloved Christians, redeemed, beloved, born-again, saved believers, will lighten this earth. And they are called the light of Christ and the witnesses and the servant of Christ and the redeemed and the body of Christ and the sanctified and holy one, the called out one, the church of the living God and the mind God. But most of all, the importance, the message of the kingdom of God has seemed to be overlooked. And I just want to share with you the importance why Jesus continually preaching his message when he was on the earth, and his disciples and his apostles preached Yeshua Mashiach, the Christ. They went preaching Jesus, the risen Christ. At the time they preached, he wasn't risen, but afterwards he was risen from the dead after 3 days, being crucified in the grave for 3 days and break four. And Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, God in the flesh, was sharing, and his message was, as you read beginning in Mark chapter 1 and 5, his message primarily was, repent and believe on me, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, Jesus spake this, and this resonated often from his mouth, and in the New Testament, almost it's over 30 times you hear this spoken, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is come and is coming. Now, I want to share on the first part of this Talk Block Radio on this sixth day. I want to share with you why the message of the kingdom of Christ and kingdom of God is so important now. As when Jesus first began to speak this over 2,000 years ago, and began to declare it with power and might and authority, with signs and wonders and miracles. The kingdom repent, and mostly Israel, but the message goes far beyond Israel. It goes to the whole world, all nations. As Jesus was a Israelite, Hebrew, from the tribe of Judah, often referred to as a Jew, but all of Israel are not Jewish. Of 12 tribes. Only a two tribes were referred to as Jews and Judah in the beginning. Hallelujah. They were called the Hebrew people. Jesus is born and birthed through the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49, and Luke chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1 tell you about his birth. Now, he preached and taught, repent, change your mind, put your faith in me, change your direction and your life, and become a part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. At that time, the church had not come into existence. That's what we call the church. That word they use, I translated the Greek, call it the church. I don't prefer that word that lot, but they translated that word, ecclesia, out to the chosen one, the call out one, call it the church, the redeemed. I refer to call it, Paul says, the body of Christ. The body of the redeemed, hallelujah, and 1 Corinthians 12. And so Jesus and Christ, our Lord, we're now living in the end of the church age, and the kingdom age is soon to come. Listen, we are in the era of the kingdom of Christ, to coming to fill the whole earth. We're in the time that Jesus spake in Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world first, then shall the end come. First great significant truth, the end is not going to come until this gospel of the kingdom is fully preached in all the world, and it has not been done as of yet, so Jesus is not coming. But you could die any moment, so you got to be ready. You could leave the earth any moment, so you got to be ready to meet God at any time. But I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is not going to fill there, and Christ is not going to come until this particular gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 24, is preached in all nations, then show the income, then Israel has to be restored back to that land which it has been dispossessed and scattered for over 2,500 years, and Israel has been put back in that land and established as a nation in 1967, Daniel's prophecy. So from 1967 onward, in Daniel's prophecy, the 2,300 days, from the last generation, 1967, the six-day war of Israel won in 66-67 against its adversary, Russia and Islam, it won the victory. And from that time frame, from 1967, Daniel's prophecy talking about the 2,300 days was fulfilled. After the 2,300 days, we have one generation left. And this gospel of the kingdom must go forth into all the earth. It has already begun. It has not reached full fruit and full power into all the earth yet. But we're going to share with you the word king, you know, in the English language, referred to a ruler, a prince, a one that is a conqueror of a domain, of a territory, and rule under with power and might, with laws, with subjects, and officers. It's a government. It's the government of the living God. And we are living in a time when the power and the government of the living Christ is about to take forth. Now, Jesus often preached in all the New Testament in his first coming, the kingdom. And often we refer to the Lord's Prayer, I think it was Matthew 5, when he left this prayer, which has been vastly overlooked, underplayed. When he left this, taught his disciples what to pray concerning an important event. He said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, that was an indication, a revelatory prayer that we were to teach our children and the world, and we were to pray this prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven." That means heaven is coming to the earth. The kingdom of heaven is coming to the earth. Now, I know there's an eternal city, New Jerusalem, but it's coming, its domain and rulership is coming to the earth to take dominion in the earth, because as of yet, Satan rules over the nations. I know a lot of people have said they think God rules over the nation of the earth. I'm sorry, that's not true. That's not scriptural. And you just look naturally and see God is not ruling over nations in the earth. He's not ruling over dictates, and many nations are under the rule of men and Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4. So the kingdom of this world is over by Satan. The systems and the governments and rulership in this evil, wicked world is under the auspices of principalities and powers and demons. You remember when Daniel was fasting and praying for his people Israel? And you read in chapter 7, 8, and 9 of Daniel where he's fasting and praying for Israel and interceding that Israel were constantly rebelling and going into idolatry. And Daniel the prophet is praying, interceding for this nation, his people. The same thing we need to be doing for America and for our children and for everything. And Daniel is fasting and praying for 21 days. And there's an interference. The angel Gabriel had a message to bring to Daniel, and all his way to bring this message from heaven, Gabriel, to give this important message that Daniel is interceding and praying for. The angel has a difficult because there's some principalities between him and the heaven, between coming from the third heaven to the second heaven down to the earth. There is a principality, a power of darkness that's interfering with him. That lets you know there are principalities and demons over nations, beloved. God is not ruling over the, I know God is over everything. That's not really true. But I'm not going to get into that. If you want to believe that, believe that. Why do you think the kingdom of God got to come and fill the earth? If God was in control over all the nations and over these functions in the earth, if God the Father, if Jesus was in control, why would we have to preach the kingdom of God and he has to fill the whole earth?
If Jesus Christ was in rulership of all these millions of lives, over these systems, over these governments, why would we have to preach the kingdom of God to come? Why did Jesus start preaching the kingdom of God in the 2,000 years reign when he came as the Lamb of God? Why did he start saying the kingdom of God is coming? Kingdom of God is presently coming. Why? Because Satan and demonic tyrannical kingdoms were ruling over the earth. And you go in the book of Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel 7 to tell you about all the beastly nations, all the corrupt and pagan nations who were in rulership from all the way from Assyria, from Egypt, from Greece and Persia and just go on from one and from Babylon all the way to Rome. They rule and Satan ruled over them, influencing them. The kingdom of Christ and kingdom of God was not in rule. And it's not ruled in the earth yet. Okay. The kingdom consists of a king and a conqueror, one that rules and reigns. And he subdues the word dominion. Kingdom means a dominion rule over a territory, a controlling power and dictate influence and over a territory and a place. Jesus prayed, told his disciples and told us when he was on the earth, they said, Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. And Jesus says, I'm going to teach you an example prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed. Now, he's supposed to be living in us now, not only in heaven, he's supposed to be living in us. Since the Holy Ghost has come, he's supposed to be in the redeemed people of God. Not just in heaven, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So now he's supposed to be have a redeemed people living in them. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. Psalms 107. Now, as we read in 2 Corinthians 3 and 10 and 6 and 7, that our bodies of the believers in Christ, the Holy Spirit dwell in us, and we, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in our spirit, in our body, the power of the Holy Spirit, and Christ is revealed through the Holy Spirit in us. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Romans 7. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you're not a part of the king or his kingdom yet. But you can be tonight. You can make a choice tonight. The part of the king, the kingdom of God that's about to fill the earth and take dominion and rule. Thy kingdom come, Matthew 5. Where is Jesus telling them to pray? Thy kingdom come. He's talking about a completion of the kingdom taking full dominion and authority over the nations and becoming the only ruling government on the earth. Jesus, when he was born, the prophet Isaiah prophesied 800 years before he was born in the 9th chapter, verse 6 to 8, and says that a child is given, a son is born. A child is given, a son is born. And his name shall be called. And you read that, what Jesus will be called, his mighty God, the everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the everlasting God, Father, Counselor. And it says, unto his kingdom or his government, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And the kingdom is a government, a heavenly government and rule and dominion. Adam gave up his rulership and authority over the earth, over the kingdom. Adam was given dominion over the earth and over in paradise and given rule. And he was told to reign, rule, have dominion, and subdue. He gave that up. Now Jesus had to come and bring this back for us to reign, rule, have dominion, and take, and Satan no longer will be in rulership. He's going to the pit, Revelation 20. The government of God, the rulership and authority and dominion of light and truth and power and righteousness, to reign, to rule, to have dominion in every place. Now, the kingdom of God is invisible and spiritual now, but it's going to take on a physical shape when it fills the whole earth. The government of God shall be in its place when Christ comes. It's going to become visible. It's now invisible spiritually, but it's going to become visible and fill the earth physically as Jesus come back to rule and to reign and take reign during the millennium reign. The government of God shall reign. Not the governments of men, the dictates of evil, tyrant, or wicked, corrupt men. There is not a nation yet. Only a few people will call the kingdom of Christ, the church of the living God, the redeemed, who has membership in the kingdom of God, not just in a church. Thy kingdom come. Now, Jesus established what you call the upon this church, or upon this rock. Now, we call the word church in Matthew 6, upon this rock I build my people. It's not talking about a building. Matthew 6, Jesus said, I'll build my people. That a church is a people, not a building. Among a people, I will establish or build my rule and reign as children of the kingdom and children of light to redeem. And upon this rock, I build my people. The word church, Ecclesiastes, is talking about a people to redeem people called our people, a body of believers. Kingdom, meaning rule into all the world, having dominion over all territories and all nations and all government, ruling and reigning and having dominion. Hallelujah. You, as a redeemed, Holy Ghost-filled Christian, have power to take dominion and authority wherever you go, dispel the darkness, the evil of man, and cast down the enemy. That's why you're called heirs and joint heirs of Christ and children of the kingdom and children of light. Now, that kingdom. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 14, the kingdom of God is not so much physically or naturally, for the kingdom of God is not meat, drink, or physical things as you think. The kingdom of God is meat and drink, and physical and naturally, but peace, joy, righteousness, and power in the Holy Ghost. That's what it made of. It consists of. Now, I'm going to share with you something about the full bloom when the kingdom of God fill the earth and take dominion of all nations, subdue all under feet. Satan's time is up of his rulership in the earth, and he cast down in the pit, bound for 1,000 years. He cast down, his rulership is over it. Man's rule. Let us see what the scripture says. At least you think I'm making this up. And I'm telling you out of my own thoughts, and the Bible and the scriptures does not substantiate. But I'm going to show you what the scripture says, and you decide. Now, we go to the book of Revelation. I'm going to say this. In the 11th chapter of the writings of Revelations, the revelation of Jesus Christ that John received on the Isle of Patmos. Now, let's see. In the 11th chapter of the writings of Revelations, verse 15, and the seven angels sounded, and that seven angels, sound is just about to be soon heard. And the seven angels sounded with a message, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now that that hasn't happened yet. So who's ruling now? Who's reigning over these governments and nations and corrupt systems and evil in the world, over millions of lives of people? Is he ruling over Syria, Russia, North Korea, South Korea, Japan, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran? This is the Christian nation, and yet he's not reigning in the central government of the people of America, which was called by his name, in a Christian nation. That's what the struggle is going on between these two kingdoms. Clash of the Titans, you might say, the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil and sin, seeking to rule and reign forever, but his time is up. Jesus died and rose again and gave dominion and power to the saints. Ephesians chapter 2. Now listen to this, beloved. The hour we're living in is the 12th hour, when the kingdom of Christ with power through the everlasting gospel and authority from heaven is being declared, manifested, and demonstrated, and has begun already, but has not completely filled its fruitful place to fill the whole earth. But soon, and very soon, when the seventh angel sounds, the kingdom, Revelation 11 and 15, God is not sovereign ruling over people. He's not in charge of people's lives. Many millions of people, he's not in charge. He's not in charge of government. He's not in charge of many institutions in this life yet. I know people want to say he's in charge of everything. But if he's in charge of everything, brother, then some of this stuff that's going on, he's in charge of it. Woo! Let's look. Is he in charge of your life, or your uncle's life, your cousin's life, or the city government, the state government that you have now, or your community government, or your lives, or your community? Is he in charge? No, he's not in most cases. Only a few. Hallelujah. Let's read what it says about the coming of the kingdom of heaven to fill the earth and take dominion and rule and reign. And the seven angels sounded, and there was great voices in heaven, Revelation 11 and 15. What was it saying? The kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now when Jesus come, when he come with all the saints, hallelujah, he come with the redeemed saints who are in heaven, coming with him with their risen body, and he coming with the living saints who are still on the earth. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and those saints who are alive when he coming will be caught up to meet him in the cloud, and they're going to come and reign and rule with him as the bride of Christ over this earth. They're going to be the government of God. Now let's go to Revelation 12, and let's see what it says. Verse 10. And John the Beloved heard a voice. This is the beloved John, one of the original 12 apostles, the one that didn't die. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, Mashiach. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and the blood of, and the love not their lives there. Now, this is not completely fulfilled. The church is going to go through a great persecution just like they did in the first and second and third century. But the last persecution is already begun now. It's going to come greater. And we'll be here to go through the great tribulation, and we're going to be persecuted, but we're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of testimony, and the power of the Holy Ghost. And some are going to give their lives like they're giving their lives now, dying in many nations right now, being persecuted, killed, put in prison, shot and killed. In many Islam nations, in the communist nation, are being killed. Many of the Christians are being killed, martyred. but it's going to get greater. It's going to even come to America. But they overcame the wicked one by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the seat of the devil, the sea. For the devil has come down, having great wrath, knowing he by little time to show. Now, Satan is down now, working with all of his might. That's why you see all this trouble and stress. He's keeping up because he knows the time is short where his rule is over with and man's rule is over with. And the kingdom of Christ is about to fill its place. So you see the demons working and devils working in every nation and every place hotly. But he knows his time is up, 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 baby. Your time is up. We have to hasten it. We have to hasten his time. Taking this gospel of the kingdom. Now, as you read Daniel, the prophet Daniel spoke of this day almost 2,000 years ago, Daniel spoke of this prophet over 2,800 years ago, 244 Daniel. Where you at, Brother Daniel? Where you at, Brother Daniel? Let's go see what the prophet Daniel says. Chapter 2. I'm not going to read all of it. You have to read the whole chapter. But I'm going to read about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of our Lord, of our Christ, began to take rule and dominion. It's invisible now, but it's going to be visible after a while. Hallelujah. Daniel the prophet, chapter 2, verse 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. That's what he's beginning to do now. He's setting up a kingdom. It's invisible now. Which shall never be destroyed. Now look what is coming. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, not just to the Jews, like it was in the beginning. Because the church is made of Jew and Gentile, one body, 1 Corinthians. It's not going to be led up to just Israel, like it was in the beginning, the Jews. But it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, shall stand forever. Now, it's not talking about physically breaking in pieces, but it's talking about the rulership of demons and devils and evil and that old Adamic nature over people and over nations, over government, that this gospel is going to break that and destroy that yoke and set them free. Isaiah 61, Jesus came to set the captive free, to overthrow them, to heal the broken lives and broken lives and broken nations and broken governments that Satan has set up and lives that are under the control of power of darkness. He came to set them free. Notice that Jesus, when his ministry went everywhere, he healed all that sickened. He healed all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. Acts 2:38. Now listen. As you looked at Daniel 7, when it talks about these beastly nations, these pagan, idolatry nations, their reign to the 6,000-year reign, you can go all the way back to Nimrod. Nimrod, the destroyer of the souls of people. And all the way to Egypt, Assyria, the Mongolians, down to powers of darkness, pagan, idolatry, religions like what? You can start at Egypt and Assyria, Persia, Greek, Babylon, the Roman Empire, which the Roman Catholic Church came out of that. They are the ten-toed. That's why the Roman Catholic, the little horn, the beast that you see in Revelation 7, the beast in Revelation 3, that's the Roman Catholic Church. The little horn in Daniel is the Roman Catholic papal power. Now, in Daniel, the 7th chapter, here comes a kingdom that's not made by man's ability. It's a stone hewed out of the mountain, a revelation of power, of victory through the Son of God that as a stone, Jesus being the chief cornerstone, roll forth. It's happening now. It's beginning to happen now. thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This government. Now, people do not understand, and they get upset when you understand how Satan rules over a nation. He rules basically from governments, whether it's a dictator, tyrants over many nations. He rules through corrupt, wicked, ungodly men ruling over governments and over nations and people and their lives and their systems. And this is why people get mad when you tell them about this corrupt government of America and politics. You can't get away from politics. I don't care what you try to stick your head in. Oh, we can't talk about politics. What are you talking about? Are you misunderstanding? Everything is in the natural realm is ruled by government's rule, politics and governments. Either a tyrant or a king or a democracy, which we have, a republic, which is the most blessed nation in America and the earth, where many people have tyrants and dictators and rule, Satan ruling and reigning. Christ is not reigning, beloved. Millions of lives without the gospel in darkness, walking in darkness, don't know the redemption of Christ. The Lord is not ruling over them. But he's sending good news. He wants to reign. That one person can change the lives of many. If you get one person to come to Christ, that one could be many. Jesus saw the Samaritan woman in John's Gospel, chapter 4. One woman. Don't never downplay the one, because everything begins with the one. One can spread through a hundred to a thousand. One witness in Christ. One witness. One Holy Spirit witness. One gospel witness has power to change community. Just getting one person. That one person can show you an example. Yes. Yes, I believe in the Holy Ghost and the nine gifts of the Spirit. I can't help it. Everybody don't believe the Bible all the way. That's not up to me. I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you, I believe all of it, the gospel. I'm not going to just pick a part I believe and P I want to accept. I'm not going to get into that dispensation. Well, God don't do that anymore. Or just the devil. The devil can do a whole lot according to some people, and God can't hardly do nothing according to some people. I don't know what kind of gospel they preaching. The God can't do nothing, and the devil can do a whole lot of stuff. Well, my God, my gospel, and my Jesus, and my Lord, and my scripture, and my Redeemer, he's the eternal God with all power, Jesus said when he rose from the dead, Matthew 12, all power in heaven and earth and others in me, given to me, my Father. So I don't follow that traditional thought. Well, you know, the devil is, God can't speak, he can't talk, he can't heal, he don't deliver, he don't feel, he don't do this. Oh, I don't know what gospel you got that from. You get it from the Bible. This dispensation of traditions of men. Search the scriptures for yourself. Acts 17:11, Paul says, when he told them to search diligently these scriptures to see whether these things that he's saying, he told them to search the scriptures. I'm telling you to search the scriptures diligently and humbly in prayer. And see whether these things are so that I tell you. Everyone has a favorite. I'm not here to pick and choose. I'm just to do what I'm commanded to do. He that has ears to hear. If one person hears, I'm successful. That's the way I look at it. I said Jesus took 12 men and turned the world upside down, 12 apostles. The kingdom, the rule, the reign. We are to subdue, like he told Adam, who lost the authority and dominion in the earth and brought, and not lost his eternal existence, but brought redemption through Jesus Christ, because Adam's sin brought eternal death, spiritual death, physical death, and no hope. But now the gospel kingdom has come, the everlasting hope, the blood of Jesus, the death, and he rose again. Everyone can be called of the king's domain and the king's life and the kingdom rule. because you're going to spend eternity somewhere. When you die, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. And there's only two places. No, I don't know of any three or four places, but I know the Bible teaches there's two places you're going to leave if you don't have redemption in Christ. If you're not redemption and redeemed by the blood of Christ and be born again, there's only one or two places. There's no third place. No, there is no right, no candle in praying you out of here, purgatory, wherever, limbo, or any of that. That's not scriptural. If you can find that in the King James bosom, you can bring that in the original text. You can find that for me. I'll be glad. But you can't find that in the original Hebrew or Aramaic text. Go back, way back. It's not in that. So it's heaven and a hell or the lake of fire. I don't want to go there. I accept Jesus as a way of the love of God. He said, no one has to go there. Come to me. All you have a burden, I will give you rest. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 3:16. Everyone heard that? God so loved. Yahweh loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, Yeshua, the Lamb of God. It is coming as the Lamb of God. But when Jesus comes again, he's not coming as the Lamb of God. He's coming as the Lion of Judea and the King of kings and Lord of lords to rule and reign. Now, are you going to reign with him or rule with him in eternity? Your choice. Now, let's go see. It's a government rule with authority and power. See, this government rule with a king, who's King Jesus. Now in the church, he's called the head of the church, the chief cornerstone. He's called the head of the body of believers. Head of the body, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 3, he's called the head, the chief cornerstone of his people. Build up on the apostles' doctrine. See, he chose these officers in the kingdom who were called apostles. The first officers in the kingdom that Jesus chose, his disciples who later became called apostles. They were the officers, the first and most important officers in the kingdom. Fourth chapter of Ephesians talks about fivefold ministry. But I'm telling you about the 12 apostles and bishops and elders and evangelists and pastors and prophets and deacons and intercessors that he chose as officers in the kingdom to rule over the subject of the kingdom. They're called the kingdom's children, the children of light. They're called servants, the redeemed in Christ. Now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10, and let's see something important about Jeremiah 10 and 10. Let me see, can I find it? Brother Jeremiah. Wow. Where you at, Jeremiah? Oh, where are you, Jeremiah? Or are you trying to, but let's, before we get to Jeremiah, let's go to Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage? That means, and the people veins. When Israel came on the scene to reveal the one true living God to the nations of the earth, they were called heathens and pagan and idol witches and Satan worshippers. And Israel will call the worship of the true and the living God, the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And other people who are called Gentiles or heathens are demon worshippers. And Israel was to point them to the light of the true and the living God and his laws, and they failed. Let's see what the condition exists. Psalms 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And you see how the anointed people of Christ, the anointed people of the kingdom of God are being persecuted, the Bible being persecuted, the gospel being hated and rejected, even in America, even in America. Let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. See, the Lord about to confuse all the nations and all the powers of darkness. And he's going to raise up a mighty army of people that going to cause the enemy to be confounded and that kingdom be broken up and the power of darkness to scatter and put underfoot. He's raising up a mighty army now of washed, blood washed, redeemed, Holy Ghost baptized army. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. That's when Jesus coming to vex them and in sore perplexion. Yet I set my king upon his holy hill. The Lord Jesus going to come. He's going to stand up on his holy hill. He's talking about his redeemed church and believing kingdom in America. And he's going to rule from Jerusalem and Zion and both of these nations. Joel chapter 2:32. And I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee. Now he begotten the Lord Jesus. And this is our prayer. Ask of me and I shall give thee the heathens for thy inheritance. The uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod, the gospel. Thou shalt dash them in pieces by the potter's vessels. And this is happening now. The gospel with power is going into these nations, breaking the silence of evil and the voice of evil and the tremendous destruction of evil over people's lives and over nations. And Jesus went everywhere, exercising, demonstrating that power of the kingdom. Now, this is about as much as I'm going to share tonight about the kingdom coming with power. The kingdom of God is going to be fully established with power. See, the only way a kingdom, when you're dealing with another, to conquer another kingdom, another domain, a ruler, just like Japan, Italy, Mussolini, and Hitler was the great evil who tried to conquer the Christian world. Now, who do you think was ruling over Japan and over Nazi Germany and the three great evils? Itabima, Benito Mussolini, Hitler, fascism. Let's go to Japan and Nazi Germany. All of them are becoming communism afterwards. Who was over these nations? You say God is in charge of everything. I know people. Oh, God is in charge. Was God in charge over Hitler and killing all those Jews and destroying people's lives? Was God in charge over Japan, wanting to destroy America and coming here? Was God in charge of Mussolini invading Ethiopia and killing and destroying and coming against Christians and coming against Jews? Was God in charge over those nations? Like you said, God is in charge of everything and everybody? I just wondering. Was he instituting all of that? No. Satan, the devil, the wicked one, the fallen ones was over these kingdoms and territories seeking to snuff out the Jews and the Christians. The main goal of Satan is to stop the Jews and Christians. And the third thing he wants to stop out is America. If he can stop out the believers, the true born-again Bible believers, he can conquer. He knows that. So therefore, it's two people he hates, Satan. That's the Jews who brought salvation, the Bible, and deliverance. And he hates America, where the center of world deliverance once was. And he hates the righteous in Christ. And so he's now warring against the Christian church, the redeemed, saved, Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled Christian believers. Those are his target and Jerusalem. That's why Islam want to kill the Jews and Christians first, because the demon that's over Islam, those people are blind. And many people in Muslim are good people, have to be healed, delivered by the gospel. They're just in darkness, in bondage. But the terrorists, there's a horde, and different ones are controlled by demon principality power. Their aim, their goal by Satan is at the Jews. They hate the Jews and the Christians because they are the one that has the power and the deliverance to stop Satan's kingdom and set the captive free. Now, the purpose of the kingdom to reveal in Isaiah 61, he revealed in Jesus' ministry when he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's revealed in the demonstration of the Jesus coming first as the Lamb of God to this earth. It's found in Isaiah, what? Yes, Isaiah 61. Yes, beloved, thy kingdom come. It's demonstration with power and might and authority to reign over and subdue all the power of evil. Isaiah the prophet. This is the scope of what the demonstration of the kingdom of heaven being brought to earth, the demonstration and manifestation. Until these things are fully revealed, the kingdom of God cannot be fully established in the earth. Don't care what anybody says. Don't care if they got a name up there or anything. Until they can demonstrate and manifest what Jesus said, manifest, the kingdom of God is not fully come. It may be come in part, but not fully. No, 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 no. Well, I love you anyhow. You can make a decision today. Isaiah 61. Now, this is over 800 years before Jesus, the Messiah, came into the earth. And Isaiah prophesied about this one, the Messiah, coming. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord Adonai has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the broken heart, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of prison to them that are blind, to those that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the period we're in now. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God was soon to come. To proclaim the day of the vengeance of our God, we're to warn people about the judgment and wrath of God that's coming if you don't repent and come to Christ. To comfort all that moan. This is to bring that there is hope and deliverance for your life now. Be comforted. Come to him. And the gospel, when Jesus came as the Son of God, the Holy Messiah, the promised seed, he demonstrated all of it. He manifested it. He didn't just say it in words. So it's not enough to say you're the kingdom of God in words. You have to establish with power, authority, and dominion. It's not fully come until that happens. Well, shining light on myself and everybody else. Now, I want you to know the kingdom of God, as Paul said, is with power and authority and might against the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. The devil is not as scared of the Christians as long as they walk in partial truth, partial light, and part of the gospel. He's not really afraid of them that much. You know why the devil hates the Pentecostal Christians so much, the apostolic holiness Christians more than any group? Well, let me say this, and this is something I'm saying, and I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but I'm saying what I have comprehended in the scriptures and observation in life. Why Satan hate the full gospel? I'm not talking about the people that you see on the TV who are using the gospel to scam and con and people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the really genuine. Satan hate the full gospel, Holy Ghost, Acts 1, 2, 3 Christians. More he hate all Christians, all believers that have been born again and washed in the blood. But he hate the Pentecostal, full gospel anointed, faith deliverance, casting out demons. He hate them more than anybody. The apostolic mantle of Peter, James, and John. He hate that more because they're the one can give him, put him out of business. And oh, yes, 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 yes. See, all the religions were created by Satan. If it's not founding on what the apostles and the prophets said in the Bible, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to our Lord Jesus. It wasn't founded on the gospel. It's satanic origin. It's pagan origin. It's tribal origin. It's wicked imaginations of man's creating their own religion through demons' influence. All religions in the earth, thousands of them. Satan called us to have confusion. But the kingdom of God was coming with light and power. He called the everlasting gospel. Now, as I come to an end of this session about the kingdom of God is now presently coming, it's not manifested as fully in certain areas because there's not very people are qualified. Very people are qualifying. Let me show you a part of it, and this is not trying to offend anybody, but just trying to show you the reality of things. When the coronavirus hit, I'm not making an excuse. I knew something was coming. It was given to us in 2019 to warn America and warn the church world. But listen, there's so much pride in the church world, like it's in races and culture, so much racial pride, cultural pride, religious pride, human pride, all so much pride. That's why God hates pride so much. Many people who think they know the whole truth and you can't tell them nothing, and I've talked to many Christians, and a lot of times you can't share further light and truth with them because they got this spirit, I know everything, my pastor know everything. Okay, that's fine. He know everything. He got everything. Okay. That's what the foolish virgin says in Matthew 25. The foolish virgin could not receive more light, more illumination, more revelation of truth from God's word and plan because they had it all. They didn't need no more. And that's what the average Christian will tell you. Oh, you can't tell me I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Church of God. You can't tell me anymore. I know the whole Bible. So you have to leave them alone. And Jesus said, leave them alone. Let them stay where they are. They'll find out how foolish and unwise they are. Sure, you to test everything, see where it's of God. Sure, you discern to see where it come from. Of course you do. Let me say this. Let me speak this. The kind of situation that we are in this 11th, in the 12th hour of God's plan, where gross darkness has filled the earth and darkness among nations, there is amazing things that begin to happen around the earth. The Lord God has been revealing himself with power and might in many nations now, even in China, Central America, even in Muslim nations, Islam nations, India. But he's not showing himself mighty in America. And we'll get on that. Why is he not showing himself mighty in a Christian nation like America, the center of world deliverance, and the most blessed and favored nation in all the world, who is now declining and falling? Why is he showing himself mighty in Africa? Why is he showing great, mighty truth into a once communist Chinese nation in South Korea? Why is he going to the Asian and Turkeys and Islam and angels are showing up and Jesus showing up and mighty moves and dead is being raised and eyes are opening and limbs are being restored and thousands of people are coming to Jesus Christ being transformed? Why is he doing that among the many nations but not so much in America, nor in the Christian, many Christian areas, many Western nations? Why? Hallelujah. Well, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Listen, the kingdom message with authority. When John the Baptist was on the earth, Galatians in Matthew 3, he was the only man that had authority from God to baptize people. There was nobody else that we know in Israel on that area had authority from heaven. Jesus asked them, what authority do you do this? Whenever Jesus said, they asked him, what authority? Because even the Jews knew about what authority was. And they want to know, what authority do you do this? And then Jesus turned it back on them. John the Baptist was the only one had authority to baptize. That's why Jesus had to go to John, because not only he was to go before him and prepare his way and introduce him to Israel, but He was the only one who had authority from God, the only authority from the Holy Ghost to baptize. And so everything we do in the earth, we have to see authority from the living God. We can't just do it on our own, but we have to have authority to represent and do these things from the living God. Thy kingdom come. You have to have relationship and authority. If you're going to represent the kingdom of God, you have the two, three things. You have to have relationship, fellowship, and authority from Jesus Christ. You have to be born again, washed in the blood, baptized in Jesus' name, and it's important to be filled with the Holy Ghost, as in the book of Acts, which is very important. John the Baptist talks about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Not too many people talking about that today. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to know something very important as you search the scriptures, when Jesus came preaching, Mark 1:15, he came preaching, repent. Later on he said, believe upon me. Repent and believe upon me. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is about to come on the earth. The kingdom of God is about to become real in your life. And I'm going to introduce you. I'm the king. I'm going to send my officers of the kingdom, 12 apostles and 70 disciples in the beginning. And I'm going to give them authority and power. Now notice what Jesus did when he sent in Luke chapter 9, Matthew 10, when he chose the officers and these ministers, and these you call disciples, he gave them a charge, authority, and power. Now you say, well, is that, let's say, well, if you're not acting by the authority and don't have the seal of authority from God, then you're acting on your own or by man or man institution. Everything has to be authority. If you represent a city, you have to have authority of seal of that city. Policeman can act on his own. He has the authority, and then he has the power of the gun and the bullet to enforce. And so John the Baptist says, was telling about that when he was crying to the wilderness, he says his authority had came from the living God, and he was born with the Holy Ghost in his, from his mother's womb. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. And so he had heaven's authority and throne. Jesus could not do what he did without the authority of the Father and the power. So when he sent the officers to represent the kingdom in the last days, know this, Satan has great power in the earth. You read in Revelation, the devil has great power, and he's showing his power among nations in the earth. And we're living in the days of the restoration of all things. And the only way we're going to wrest the kingdom and people from life is the same thing that Jesus chose the officers in the book of Matthew and Luke, when he says, I give unto you, and he chose the 12, and he gave them authority, exousios, and gave them power, dunamis, and told them, go, preach the gospel, heal the sick, open the blind, called the cripple, the deaf, the leprous, and raised the dead. Now, if that's the only way the kingdom of God is going to be fully, completely established, it's not going to be established by no words. You say, well, I have this and I have that. The devil is not impressed. You go to these demon nations like India, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Russia and talking that stuff and don't have authority and power. Wow. So today, as we continue on tomorrow, talk about the power of the kingdom and what time we are living in, that the kingdom is about to come forth with power and might and great authority and overthrow all the dominions and tyrants and evil of Satan over men's, over their kingdoms, over their governments, over their lives, over their homes. Now today, you can make a decision. Jesus said in the 11th chapter of Matthew, verse 25, come unto me, all ye that heavy laden and laden, all heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you a redemption because he died on the cross and he shed his blood and he bare our iniquity and our sins. Isaiah 53. He laid down his life to redeem us from sin that you may be a partaker of the kingdom of God and receive the nature of God in you, and said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I believe you died for the sins of the world. I don't have to carry my sins anymore. I don't have to bear my iniquity. No, I can put my trust in you, believe on you, and come live in my life. Come live in my life. Renew me. Give me a new spirit, a new heart, and a new mind. Take away my iniquity. Take away my bondage. Take away my addiction. Take away the power of darkness of my life. Set me free. Set me free. Make me brand new, and I will live for you. And I want to be a part of your kingdom. Tear down the devil's kingdom and set the captive free. Have you done this thing and from your heart? You ask God to direct me to a place and have me be baptized in Jesus by those that have an authority to baptize me in Jesus' name. Take me to a place of Christian church and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1 and 2. Do these two things, these three things, and you'll be on your way and starting a new day in your life, and you will be a child of the King and part of the kingdom of God and the glorious kingdom of Christ, who is going to take dominion and power when Jesus is coming back very soon. Tomorrow at 7 o'clock, we will be sharing again of how we are to walk the kingdom walk with dominion like Jesus Christ did when he came to this earth and died and rose again and was wounded for our transgression to redeem us, and calling all Jew and Gentile, black and white, red and yellow, rich and poor, come be a part of the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of this world is coming to an end. Hallelujah. We love you with the love of Christ. And tomorrow, if the Lord permit, we'll see you at 7 again. Talk Black Ready, Brother Lee, the Church of Christ with the Elijah Message, signing out. Be blessed. Be blessed.